Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Nets Bucks Game 4 is featured on the free-to-play Fox Bet Super 6 app. Download the app and answer 6 questions about Sunday's game for your shot to win $1,000.
Want a gift for dad? 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/herd. TommyJohn.com/herd. Check out the site for details. So, I think these NBA playoffs, I've been saying this, everybody said, oh, when LeBron leaves, and I'm like, no, I mean, I've been watching the NBA for a long time. There have been down years. The bubble was weird last year. I think the stories this year are fascinating, and I think stories are what people want. I think the Chris Paul story is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Utah Jazz, you know, no team that's right now playing in the playoffs, all eight, none of them have won a championship since the 80s. That was the Sixers in the early 80s. I remember that Sixer team well. The rest, half of these teams, three quarter, have never won a title. So we always talk about the dynasties in the NBA. There's no dynasty. Now, Brooklyn kind of looks like what dynasties look like, mm-hmm. which is great finishers and stars. And Sarah Kustok, Fox Sports NBA analyst, she's amazing, does Nets games, is joining us now live. You know, I kind of think last night, if I was a Nets fan, I'm like, Harden didn't play. Until the fourth, KD didn't play well. We had a terrible first quarter, and we could have won that game. That in Milwaukee, and that was the biggest game in Mike Budenholzer's career. So my takeaway this morning is, I don't know. That was a good loss. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, what was your takeaway when it was over?
Colin, you're spot on. I mean, think about the fact that the Nets were down by 21 points to start the game, and
yes.
I think Brooklyn knew of all things with the way they started the series, the first two games back in Brooklyn, that they knew they would see a different Milwaukee team. But there was a lot of circumstances throughout the course of this game that if you are a fan of the Nets, you still got to feel good about. I don't think we're ever going to see this offense look this bad when it comes to Brooklyn and how they shot from the field. And it wasn't give credit to Milwaukee, but there was some wide open looks for Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, go 20 of 50 from the field combined. Joe Harris, who it seems like he never misses, goes 1 of 11 from the field. The
yeah.
list goes on. So, and just the shot profile of the looks that Giannis was taking and where Milwaukee was getting their offense from, for all the discussion about can the Nets defend? Well, what they've done these first three games is be able to slow down the number one rated offense in the league throughout the course of the regular season in the Milwaukee Bucks. So I think the fact that despite not finishing off that game, that you're in it towards the end, it didn't feel like there was a lot of adjustments that Milwaukee made that you will not be able to potentially combat. Looking at game four, I think you got to feel at least a steady approach of where you're at and where the group is at with no James Harden and still no Jeff Green.
Yeah, by the way, Joe Harris, who, as I've told you last week, went to the Lake Chelan Mountain Goats, his high school. I know it well. He had.
Do you?
Yes.
He's
the greatest high school player in Washington State history that played at the single A level, which I did. So Lake Chelan Mountain Goats. But he, by the way, to your point, he had open looks and didn't hit him, and he's a great shooter, so that's not going to happen again. Give me an update on the bodyguard situation where it was kind of under control, and then KD's bodyguard swoops in and bangs into people. You're around your franchise. What's going on with that today?
Colin, I know this is now there's been a lot of buzz about this when it's been discovered that the individual that almost barreled into PJ Tucker is Kevin Durant's security guard. But what I want to point to, and Colin, you know this with officials or calling fouls. Sometimes the official gets a second guy and gets a second foul, but doesn't see the first. So when you go back through the tape, and which the Nets have done, I'm sure the NBA will do, and open it up, Kevin's security got pushed from behind And that's where he then starts falling into PJ Tucker. He was within the scope of his assignments. He is, as has been mentioned, a part of this net security. So for him to be on the floor, there was nothing about that that was necessarily outside the bounds of the job that he should be doing. I do think it's a fact that, one, he ran into a player he's friends with in PJ Tucker. We know that both PJ Tucker and Kevin Durant are Longhorns, so they know each other. This is kind of a friendly battle between the two of these guys, very competitive at this point. But the one aspect you look at is it looked like a situation that was starting to de-escalate, and this escalated just a little bit. But I imagine the league will look at it. I think it's going to be a little bit more much ado about nothing by the time we get to tomorrow and they really take a look at the entire situation.
So Chris Paul is one of my favorite NBA players, and I said I have a soft spot yesterday for people that have overcome stuff. I don't resent the trust fund kid, but I don't respect him as much as the kid that builds his own business and comes from a tough background. And Chris Paul, Magic Johnson, who I love, inherited Kareem. Okay, that Kawhi gets Pop and Duncan and Manu and Parker. Chris Paul goes to an organization at a college that can't play home games for 2 years because of a natural disaster, then gets Donald Sterling, trade to the Lakers next. He then gets the tanking Thunder. He then gets the messy Suns, and he just keeps winning. I watch him, and I got Jokic on the floor as the MVP, and yet Chris Paul completely controls the series. The tempo, I mean, they can't stop him. Denver has no answer for him. What do you make of the times you've seen him in the last couple of years and kind of the arc of Chris Paul since you've been covering the NBA?
It's extraordinary. And Colin, what I want to point to, and I know you touched on, but I want to take us back to two seasons ago.
Yeah.
And discussions we were having at the end of that Houston season, his last one there, and talking about, man, is this an untradeable contract? How are they going to move Chris
Paul?
Yeah,
I remember that.
That was the narrative. Goes to Oklahoma City, and the front office, they sit him down and say, okay, we'll rest you. We'll make sure, you know, through the whole list of things they were going to do because they were on their way to the draft lottery. And he says, no, we're going to win. And what is he takes that Oklahoma City team to a 5 seed, first round of the playoffs. They go 7 games and ended up losing to Houston. And then comes to a Phoenix franchise that has not been to the postseason in a decade, and they finish with the second record in the Western Conference. And now look at what they're doing throughout the playoffs. And you do have to, it cannot be glossed over, the job that Monty Williams has done, the leadership he has provided, and what a excellent job he has done coaching. Devin Booker is a star in my eyes, and he has met the moment on every occasion, considering this is his playoff debut. But DeAndre Ayton, would we have ever expected him to look like this again in his first postseason? And to me, so much of that credit goes to Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges. I mean, this Phoenix Suns team is the real deal, but I do not think it comes together without the work, the leadership, the understanding of how to make this all go by Chris Paul. And for someone who, he's what, 35, 36 years old right now and has been so close in so many instances, you really have just got to be pulling for him to continue to put his team in the best position to win, because it has been fun to watch. Whether the numbers have been big or the numbers have been standard, it is so much about what happens off the box score that has made a significant impact.
You know, it is interesting. The Clippers Jazz is that neither has ever won a title. The difference is the Jazz have been brilliantly run for 30 years, whereas the Clippers have been sometimes brutally run and now run. But when I watch them play, I've been saying this today, I just never know what I get. It is you become your star. So if your star is KD, you're going to be an offensively proficient team. If your star was Shaq in his prime, you're going to be a power team. With Kawhi, you become an enigma. Because he sort of is. I don't know what I'm getting. And I watch them, and I'm like, I still think they'll beat the Jazz. I think. But I wonder, because Donovan Mitchell gives me the same thing every night. And what do you make of Kawhi, having covered him? And just the Clippers as a whole, they're the classic riddle wrapped in an enigma. What do you make of them?
I'm not sure I would go as far as to say, as you are, Colin, that I think the Clippers will win the series. The biggest thing in particular when it comes to winning in the postseason is consistency. and knowing what you're going to get. And right now, Ty Lue, it's not to me just Kawhi. I believe Kawhi will steady out. I mean, we have seen him be really special this postseason. But you start to go down the list of Paul George. I mean, who would have thought Reggie Jackson would have the night he had last night? But Ty Lue, the fact he's still kind of looking at his rotations. And I think he's wondering who to trust.
Yeah.
When is he playing Kennard? When is he playing man?
Yep.
How much can you play Zubats? You know, sometimes it comes to matchup and personnel. But so that lack of consistency or understanding, that is really challenging, not only for the rest of the team, but for a coach to figure out. And then on the other side of the floor, you've got a team that is the picture-perfect example of consistency and continuity.
Right.
They have had, Quinn Snyder has had the same group, the same guys. He knows exactly what he's going to get. Donovan Mitchell, I don't know. I mean, the way he has raised his level of play, in particular, we saw it in the bubble, but I think for all of us, there's, okay, how do you follow that up given the sterile environment that was and the unique set of circumstances? He has been extraordinary to go along with all the shooters he has around him. Bojan Bogdanović had the wrist surgery, so he didn't play in the playoffs last year. Anticipate Mike Conley will come back. They are just clicking on all cylinders, and there's a reason that they had the best record throughout the entire regular season. And our question, I think, is always, is that going to translate into the postseason? And thus far, I think you see it, and this team believes. And for a Utah, the arena to be in Salt Lake, you felt how live that atmosphere was. My buddy Ian Eagle was calling those games. He had been there for game one, and he was just talking about the environment. You go to Staples Center, they're not going to have that same type of crowd support. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch. But to me, it's less about the Clippers so much at this point, and it's more about how much faith and belief I have in this Jazz team and the way that Donovan Mitchell is leading them.
Good stuff, Sarah Kustok, Nets, Fox Sports. Good talking to you again. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Colin. Same to you.
Yeah, it is interesting. Ty Lue's had 38 combinations on the floor in two games. What does that tell you? He's searching for it. He can't figure it out. So when the coach has that many, he's shaking it up. So Terrence Mann's not playing, and now DeMarcus Cousins is, and Rondo didn't play, and now Patrick Beverley did. Ty Lue's trying to figure it out. He can't figure it out. So, you know, and he knows what he's doing. So we lauded him in the Dallas series for making all these changes. But he had to make changes because you don't know what you're getting half to half and quarter to quarter. You have Reggie Jackson. That's not who he is. Like he was like the Yankees Reggie Jackson. He was great. That's not, he's a solid guy. So when coaches are doing that many changes and combinations, they can't figure it out either. They just don't know what they get. Quarter to quarter, half to half.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Here is Alex with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
So, Colin, what's your prediction for the Clippers series?
I think the Clippers will win in seven.
All right.
But I have
You're still sticking to it.
Yeah,
after all that, you're
like,
still sticking
like
to
Milwaukee
it.
Was down 0-2, yeah. And it's like, oh, this is a bad matchup for them. Like, the Clippers are down 0-2, and I'm like, they've had the opportunity to win both games in the toughest road environment, arguably, in the NBA. So the style of the Clippers matches up fine with the Jazz. The Bucks just don't have enough ammo. They don't match up, and their best player can't hit a free throw late. But I watch the Clippers, and I'm like, they could be 2-0.
Yeah.
So let's not go crazy on this.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the other LA team. There were better situations for Andre Drummond than the Lakers when he signed with them last season. But what they could offer was a chance to start alongside superstars LeBron and Anthony Davis. And according to Mark Stein, that's exactly what they did. The team reportedly promised Drummond a starting role to secure his commitment to the team. He's now a free agent again, and they'll have to make another decision on the future. Now, this is going to be a really interesting offseason for the Lakers. Couple things to remember. LeBron turns 37 in December.
Anthony Davis hates playing the five. Drummond's a true five.
Yep.
Also, Montrezl Harrell may be on his way out because he was in Frank Vogel's. So if you have, remember 2 years ago they had JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, they're both gone. Trez could be gone. Anthony Davis hates playing the five. We did this a week ago. Andre Drummond is the one could go either way guy.
Yeah.
I could see Andre Drummond sticking here. Again, he could be a liability against a lot of teams because he's a non-three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a Tristan Thompson component with LeBron. LeBron wants somebody to do the rebounding and dirty work, and Drummond's a top 5, 6 rebounder in the NBA.
It's going to be interesting.
Yep.
It's going to be fun to watch. All right. Well, the Rams made a big move to bring in Matthew Stafford this offseason. After just a few months of collaboration, Sean McVay said he feels like Stafford is making him a better coach and is very happy with everything he's seeing from his new quarterback.
When you listen to the different great coaches he's been around, experiences he can draw on, he's just a wealth of knowledge. And being able to get his perspective with so much that goes on at the quarterback position, it's been really enlightening. He's got a great, consistent energy day in and day out. He's going to raise the level of play of everyone around him. Guys are going to play well around him, and our job as coaches is going to be able to help bring out the best in these guys as well.
He's, you know what Matt Stafford gets? And every pro athlete deserves this. So he goes to a lousy franchise and does the best he can. But just think of all the upgrades he gets. He gets a better coach, better O-line, better running game, better culture, better defense. I mean, it's really...
Brand new stadium.
It's really great. Like,
he
is, and I don't care about MVP awards, but I had said this for years. I've talked to scouts in the league that have said for years, he's got Aaron Rodgers' talent. Aaron's just got better supporting people. That he's got as good an arm as anybody in the league. Remember, Aaron Rodgers went to a junior college. Matt Stafford was the number one high school quarterback in the country, and then went to Georgia and started right out of the... Matt was more naturally talented than Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron has had great O-lines, non-chaos, support, good coaches. So Stafford now gets what Aaron Rodgers gets, a real culture, real protection, real running game. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
Because I can remember saying this years ago, talking to GMs, they said, Stafford's every bit as talented, but you'll never know it because there's not a single thing, a scout told me this years ago. He goes, name something Matt Stafford could rely on in Detroit. He couldn't rely on a running game. He couldn't rely on a coach. He didn't. There was nothing Matt Stafford could go drive to the stadium for 10, 11 years and go, oh, we are great at this. The Rams had the best defense in the league, arguably the best young coach. Cam Akers is a star at running back. And I would make an argument it's a top three receiving core. So Matt Stafford is going to finally get an opportunity for a fair fight. It's a fair fight now. When you watch him, you can care. If he doesn't succeed, you're like, all right, dude. But that's what's wrong with this league. I said this about Sam Darnold. That's not a fair evaluation of Sam Darnold. Let's watch him for 2 years in Carolina. I'll admit I'm wrong if he can't win there because Carolina has tremendous offensive coaches and tremendous offensive personnel.
Well, it seems like the stars are aligning for Stafford.
Yep.
He finally got the team. He got the coach. You're in L.A. The Super Bowl is in L.A. next year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things, but you're in L.A. and you have to win.
Yep.
You have to win in L.A. You saw the Dodgers, Lakers. They won last year.
Yep.
Got to keep up if you want fans to stay intrigued.
A lot of options here.
A lot of options. All right, moving on. Dak Prescott isn't the only Cowboy hoping to bounce back from a rough season in 2020. Ezekiel Elliott had one of his worst statistical seasons, setting a career low in rushing yards and tying his career low in rushing touchdowns. But Dak is expecting big things from Zeke this year. He said Zeke is in the best shape of his life. When Zeke's healthy and doing his thing, he's the best back in the league.
Well, he is. Zeke's yards per carry has gone down, I think, four straight years. In fairness, the offensive line feels like it's gotten slightly worse the last 4 years. So Dallas's issue, they addressed their defense in the draft this year. Next year, and they know this, they're going to address the O-line. So Zeke to me feels like he doesn't have the burst he had 3 years ago.
No way.
It doesn't.
No.
So to me, shape is some of it, but he took a lot. He was a high school running back with a zillion carries, a college running back with a zillion carries. How many carries did he have first 4 years in the league? There's something, you only have so many carries in life as a running back with Adrian Peterson being kind of a weird exception. I think we've seen the best of Zeke.
Well, I mean, Dak needs him to be good. Coming back from the injury, having his big contract, getting his big shoe deal. Yeah. He needs him to be good this year.
Good stuff, Alex, for the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Jason McIntyre, tomorrow's headlines today, one of my favorite segments every Friday to close out the week.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball.
We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Suns Nuggets, your Discover Card key matchup. They match the cash first year automatically. Matches all the cash back year and automatically with no limit. You'll hear yes more, discover.com/yes. Let's bring in Jason McIntyre. We bring him on Fridays for tomorrow's headlines today. He's going to join us live now. So the NBA playoffs have been very, very intriguing. Last week, by the way, congrats to you. Tip of the cap. You predicted Julio Jones to the Titans. It happened a couple of days later. So let's start it. Former newspaper guy Jason McIntyre. Tomorrow's headlines today. Predict the headline for the Nets-Bucks series.
I know you love these Bucks, Colin, but the headline will be Bucks Budenholzered off the court. Colin, riddle me this, okay? How has Giannis won two MVP awards and the guy cannot shoot a basketball? I mean, this is crazy. In the three games Giannis has played against the Brooklyn Nets, he's shooting 17% on three-pointers and 24% from the line. How has he been the MVP twice? I'm just stunned at how bad the Bucks have been. I know you like them a lot, and I like them in this series. I could not have been more wrong. I mean, the Nets played their worst game of the year, right? Kevin Durant misses a million shots. Joe Harris couldn't throw it in the ocean from the shore, and they lose by three. I think my biggest bet of the playoffs will be the Nets in game four to absolutely roll the Bucks and end it.
All right, tomorrow's headlines today. What's it going to be for the 76ers-Hawks series? Been a fun series.
Yeah, a little spicy action. Best series left. The headline will be 76ers can't process a win. I love Trae Young tonight. This is the highlight factory, Colin. You know, the Hawks have won 13 straight games at home. Like, Atlanta's one of these weird and different sports towns. I know you've become a Chicago guy recently.
Yeah.
Loving Chicago, but keep an eye on Atlanta here. I mean, seriously, the arena is buzzing. They slaughtered the Knicks twice. I do give Doc Rivers credit for moving Ben Simmons onto Trae Young. Trae Young struggled in game two, but I like the Hawks tonight. This is a team, I can't quit the Hawks right now. They're really fun. The playoffs have been full of new teams and new energy.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on the new Red Rifle, Kevin Huerter. He's a little more high profile than your guy, Andy Dalton. Keep an eye on Huerter tonight.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Suns Nuggets series. Kind of feel like Phoenix has seized control of this puppy at man.
I notice you've been loading up on the Suns and gambling. Smart man you are, Colin. The headline will be CP3 makes MVP award look like a joker. Of course, Jokic won the MVP this week. They're going to announce it at the game. Denver's going to be rocking. I'll give you this one as a gambling tip, okay? Teams that lose the first two, then go home down 0-2, 69% of them are hitting in the first half. So I do think Denver comes out spirited. Jokic shows out, but Chris Paul, Colin, finally getting the credit he deserves. 25 assists and one turnover in this series.
I know.
And I got to give it. I mean, listen, Devin Booker's on top of the world, right? The guy's eliminated LeBron. He's dating Kendall Jenner. He's driving around with a fleet of like old classic cars that's better than Jay Leno's. Okay. Devin Booker's on top of the world. I love the Suns. I think they might sweep the Nuggets.
I don't think you're wrong. They're playing great. All right. Tomorrow's headlines today. Jazz Clippers series. Oh, the Clippers. You know, Clippers could be up 2-0. They've had opportunities and they stunk late.
They've been choking late in the game. That's what they do. The headline will be Kawhi, do we keep believing in the Clippers? I mean, Colin, this team, you know, I went on Undisputed in February. I said this team is fraudulent. The clutch time minutes, they've been one of the worst all season. They're 15th of 16 teams in the clutch in the playoffs.
Wow.
Fourth quarter, they don't deliver. And listen, Ty Lue has a lot of defenders in the media. You know that. Colin, he's run out 38 different five-man lineups in two games. That is the definition of grasping at straws. He doesn't know what to do. He dusted off Patrick Beverley, you know, and like he's not playing Terrence Mann. Like Paul George can't defend Donovan Mitchell. And Colin, at this point, Donovan Mitchell, true or false, he's the best player in this series through two games.
Yeah, no question. He's been
I mean,
machine.
Yeah, where is Kawhi Leonard? I keep asking. you know, we know he's a good two-way player, but Colin, you have to agree with me that he is not a leader. This is not a leader of men. People don't follow Kawhi Leonard into battle. He's not taking over in the fourth quarter. He's deferring. I've been disappointed in Kawhi in the series. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, listen, leaders, say what you want about LeBron and Michael, but you kind of got the same effort. You got the same mentality every night. And with Kawhi, you don't. I mean, he misses games. He takes nights off. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff is above the shoulders. Michael, LeBron, Magic, you felt like you got the same commitment every night, even if they shot poorly. With Kawhi, I don't know what I get night to night. Forget physically. Sometimes he's not locked in. Tomorrow's headlines today. Oh, this is interesting. The headline for Damian Lillard this offseason. You're very good at predicting where people go with your newspaper sourcing. What do you think?
Well, thanks to you, I've met a lot of people out here in L.A. Listen, Damian Lillard and the Knicks is chatter. Damian Lillard in Miami. Yep. The headline will be Dame blazes trail to Boston. I keep looking at this Danny Ainge move, Brad Stevens getting kicked upstairs, Celtics regressing a lot. Colin, keep an eye on this Jaylen Brown for Damian Lillard chatter. Okay, I know Jaylen Brown's not there yet. He's not an elite player. He was nearly an all-star. He's a lot younger. His upside is massive. Damian Lillard wants to be on a contender. I think his chances are better in the East because we don't really trust Philadelphia. Obviously, the Bucks are scattershot. Let's see about the Nets. But Damian Lillard and Jason Tatum, Colin, would there be a better two-man punch outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis than these two? Like, I like Kevin Durant a lot. I don't know who his number two is. Is it Kyrie? Is it Harden? Just keep an eye on Boston going big game hunting for Damian Lillard.
Well, Jaylen Brown in the West isn't an all-star. He's good. You could also, Boston's got a lot of picks. So you'd probably, I don't know if you'd have to three-team it and engineer another player to Portland for Dame because he's so wildly popular.
Yeah.
Dame would also, be honest with it, Jason, Dame would have to probably fuel some of this because a GM's not going to trade him. Yeah. He's just too popular. But if Dame went to said, I want out, then I think your point, I think Boston's interesting. You can get a Jaylen Brown. If you three-team it, you can get another borderline guy and a bunch of draft picks.
And I can hear your listeners and viewers saying, what about Kemba Walker? Colin, there was a story this week that Kemba Walker is unhappy.
Yep.
Boston tried to trade him. He's willing to move on. And don't say it's impossible to trade Kemba, okay? We heard this about Al Horford. We hear this every year. This guy's untradeable. You can trade anybody in the NBA. Trust me on this. Keep an eye on Dame in Boston. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Westbrook's contract, Chris Paul's contract. We called those untradeable a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. He's got a great podcast, gambling podcast. Good every day. Good talking to you, bud.
All right, pal. Talk to you.
Hot water that never runs out. Go tankless. Tanklessmadesimple.com. Navien tankless water heaters save the planet money, time, and space. Very, very efficient. So, good stuff. Good show today. We had a lot of stuff. It flew on by. Tonight, you're going to get the Suns Denver. I did. That's the series I really bet. I bet the Clippers last night lost. But I bet the Suns series to me was the best bet of the playoffs. Yeah, I feel bad for Denver. Good team. They're all beat up. Will Barton's not playing. Jamal Murray, who was a star last year in the bubble, is not playing. And, if you had to ask me this more right now, who wins it all? Because everything changes.
Yeah.
I would say it's Brooklyn is going to face the Phoenix Suns.
I think the same thing.
This morning. Yeah. That's what I would say.
Same.
So I like the Utah Jazz a lot. They do feel at times they are very Donovan Mitchell dependent. Very. Now, that's not to say Chris Paul's not great, but Chris can score 14 points and they can win going away. So Brooklyn's not dependent on one score. I don't think Phoenix is. I think Utah's a little dependent on Donovan. And I will say this, even though I like the Clippers to beat the Jazz, I would not pick the Clippers to beat the Suns. And it's funny about the Suns too, because they were bad for so many years, they had good draft picks.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing all these draft picks. They had Booker. They got Mikal Bridges. They get DeAndre Ayton. So, you know, in sports, most of what the Suns have done is through draft and development. So they deserve credit for that. Now they go big game hunting and they go get Chris Paul to cinch it all together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the reality is the Suns do deserve some credit. They hit on some draft picks. They did a very good job with this team, and they just needed a guy. Go listen, Danny Ainge had a million draft picks. He's hit on two. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Marcus Smart's okay. So it's the draft is really hard these days. You don't get any tape. Guys play 30 games of college. They don't play against many NBA game guys. So it's very difficult. The draft is a total crapshoot. The Suns have hit on some of their key draft picks. And that's got a Golden State feel to it. They're only getting better. We'll see you Monday. It's the Herd.